One year after the Abu Ghraib prison scandal, the U.S. Army is putting out a new interrogations manual. The New York Times reports that the new instructions expressly bar techniques used inside the Iraqi prison. The new rules would prohibit stripping prisoners, restricting their diets, depriving them of sleep, and other practices. That news comes out one year to the day after the public saw the first photographs of the Abu Ghraib abuse. They appeared in a report by Dan Rather of CBS News. This morning, NPR's Jackie Northam reports on how the scandal unfolded.
At about 10 p.m. on a cold January night in 2004, Sergeant First Class Keith Comer stopped by the operations center at Iraq's Abu Ghraib prison. Comer says specialist, now Sergeant Joseph Darby, was the only person there.
He just came to me and asked me if I knew if there was something was wrong or illegal, what would I do? It's like I told him, Joe, you know what I would do. I'd do the right thing, no matter what.
Comer, who is back in Maryland awaiting his next assignment, says shortly after that discussion, Darby slipped a CD and a note under the door of the Army's Criminal Investigation Division. On the disc were photographs, explicit photographs of U.S. soldiers physically abusing and sexually humiliating Iraqi prisoners. Comer says Darby most likely knew the repercussions of his decision.
There's no doubt in my mind he knew that some people would brand him as he'd doing the right thing and other people would brand him as a backstabber or turncoat.
Either way, Darby's decision unleashed one of the military's worst scandals since the My Lai massacre during the Vietnam War. Within days, the Army CID began an investigation. For months, it was kept quiet. But then, in late April, the photographs were aired on CBS's 60 Minutes 2 program. There was muted reaction here in the United States. Not so when the photographs were picked up 2 days later by television stations around the world. The impact of the photographs, particularly throughout the Middle East, was explosive. Back home, Congress clamored for answers. Pentagon and government officials and military officers were called to testify. One of those was Major General Antonio Taguba, who completed one of the first investigations into the abuse at Abu Ghraib.
In simple words, your own soldiers' language, how did this happen?
Failure in leadership, sir, from the brigade commander on down. Lack of discipline and no supervision.
But as the scandal unfolded, there were increasing questions as to whether fault lay beyond the walls of Abu Ghraib. Documents were uncovered showing that 2 years before Abu Ghraib, lawyers at the Pentagon, the White House, and the Justice Department had secretly changed the United States' definition of torture and developed new policies regarding who was granted the protections of the Geneva Conventions. John Yoo worked in the Justice Department's Office of Legal Counsel and helped draw up those policies. Yoo says there is no direct line between those policies and what happened at Abu Ghraib. He says investigations have shown that it was soldiers violating the rules.
What the investigations have not found are orders, memos, directives coming from people in Washington or higher up in the chain of the command, ordering people to do anything like what we saw at Abu Ghraib.
But new aggressive interrogation techniques were drawn up by the Pentagon that were intended for enemy combatants being detained at Guantanamo Bay and Afghanistan, where the administration says the Geneva Conventions do not apply. Brigadier General Janis Karpinski says those harsher techniques migrated to Iraq. Karpinski was in charge of Iraqi prisons in the fall of 2003. She says Major General Jeffrey Miller, the commander at Guantanamo, visited Iraq shortly before the worst abuses occurred. Karpinski says Miller told her that interrogators in Iraq needed to improve.
They weren't treating the prisoners aggressively enough. He said you need to make them feel like dogs. If they feel any more than dogs, you have effectively lost control of the interrogation.
Karpinski was suspended once the scandal broke. Last week, the findings of the Army Inspector General's report, which was leaked to the media, recommended that Karpinski receive an administrative reprimand for dereliction of duty. That would make her the only senior officer to be disciplined for the abuse so far. That same report absolved four other senior officers. Chief among them is Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez, the U.S. military's top commander in Iraq when the abuse occurred. Several earlier investigations faulted Sanchez for leadership failures. The findings sparked cries of whitewash from human rights groups and many military lawyers. But Lieutenant Colonel Jeremy Martin, a military spokesman, says Army investigators have no agenda.
They take an oath. There's no undue command influence. They take their job seriously. They're people of integrity. And so they go wherever the truth leads.
Over the past year, there have been 11 major investigations into the abuse, either done by the military or by a civilian panel commissioned by the Pentagon. More than 300 cases of suspected abuse have been pursued, including those involving the CIA. Some 30 cases of alleged homicide are currently being investigated, and so far more than 125 soldiers have been disciplined. They're all low-ranking, mostly enlisted soldiers, including most of those seen in the photographs from Abu Ghraib. John Hudson, the dean of Franklin Pierce Law Center and a former Navy Judge Advocate General, says it's unconscionable that no senior leader has stepped up and taken some responsibility for the abuse.
I think history might, in some respects, forgive us the mistakes that were made at Abu Ghraib. What history will remember is that the United States failed to deal with it in a forthright and morally courageous way.
Like others, Hudson is frustrated that there isn't more of an outcry by the public to hold a senior figure accountable, and he says Congress needs to get more involved. But John Yoo, the former Justice Department lawyer, says the public has shown that it's willing to give the administration license to do what it has to do.
People knew about the Bush administration's policy of coercive interrogation. We had an election, and the people not only elected President Bush, but returned the Republican Party with higher majorities in the House and Senate than it had before.
General Karpinski says over the past year, the public has heard a lot about the extent of the abuse.
Look at all the other information that's developed. Guantanamo Bay, secret facilities, Afghanistan. What's the missing piece? You can say all you want, but you don't have pictures. The rest of these allegations are simply allegations if you don't have photographs.
For Sergeant Joseph Darby, the soldier who first tipped off investigators about the abuse, life has changed very much over the past year, says his former superior officer, Sergeant Keith Comer.
His family received a lot of phone calls. His family received death threats. They had windows broken out of their home.
Darby and his family are in protective custody in an undisclosed location. On May 16th, the Kennedy Library Foundation will give Darby a special John F. Kennedy Profile in Courage Award. Jackie Northam, NPR News.